So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is the hour that you've been waiting for, the TNT radio show on the Mighty Matters Radio Network, TNT, with your host, Dale the Truth. Today is Thursday, May the 22nd. And we will go straight to our list of This Week in History. Kind of a little fun fact, Ben Franklin invented the bifocals this week in 1785. The first telegraph was messaged out this week in 1844. The Brooklyn Bridge opened this week in 1883. And we got this week in history, 1787, the start of the Constitutional Convention. So there you go, straight from the Freedom Calendar. Go get your own at freedomcalendar.com. So it is Thursday. And I believe at the end of Ed Springsteen's show last night on the Springsteen Show, he mentioned a little bit of a little housekeeping issue, and I thought I'd better mention it again tonight as well. In a couple of weeks, the week beginning June 1st, that week we will be moving the TNT radio show to Tuesday nights. So it will become Tuesday Night Truth. And for those of you all who went to a public school, a.k.a. Government Indoctrination Camp, the initials will still be TNT, Tuesday Night Truth. So that's in a couple of weeks. Just thought I ought to mention it. We'll mention it again next week. Because for better or worse, we will be yours truly, Dale the Truth. I will only be doing one show a week now because of my strenuous, stressful work schedule in my real-world job. So I'll be here with you on Tuesday nights. And instead of sitting in with Ed on Wednesdays, I'll be here on Thursdays. So I'll be here on Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays and Thursdays. Everything else will stay largely the same. Sunday nights, I assume, will still be Liberty and Brida with our friend Ken Moman. Monday nights will still be Ed and Ed together. And then I'm sure Wednesday nights will still be the Ed Springsteen Show. And I'm safely assuming that Thursday nights will be Ed and Ed since we are just flip-flopping our shows. So I got that out of the way. We have our election wrap-up show tonight. And we will say pretty much what needs to be said about the primary elections. I know that we've been talking about it a little bit because we find them important, dadgummit. And we've talked about the build-up. We're very happy to hear that you all like listening to the show. I mean, heck, I would say no one's going to miss me, the fact that I'm only going to be doing 1 hour a week starting June instead of 2 hours a week, but if it said nobody would miss me, that wouldn't be true. I was very, very impressed and flattered to see all the numbers of people who listened to last week's pre-election show. The numbers are way up for all the shows on this network, and hell, I only see the show's numbers on Blog Talk. Not that I really want to. It's not that Ed wouldn't let me see him if I asked, but I'm not really privy to the numbers of what we do on the website or what we do on Stitcher Radio or what we do on iTunes. But just the fact that here on the Blog Talk show alone, here on blogtalkradio.com alone, when it comes to the archives, that's close to a couple thousand people listen to last week's show. That's pretty impressive to me. So I appreciate you guys listening to the pre-election show. Now, moving forward, we would want to wrap up a little bit about the elections. We know last night that we talked a little bit about it with Ed Springsteen, and I know that Ed's been very rough on Matt Bevin. And again, the point could not be refuted that Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr., when it comes to Kentucky primaries, he got the smallest percentage that a sitting U.S. senator has gotten in Kentucky for over 80 years. That can't be disputed. And if I was running his campaign, I'd be worried because they need all the true conservatives, all the constitutionalists, to come back into the fold. And we're dealing with neocons who think that we should be policemen of the world. And if we don't want to get involved in these fights between rival gangs, it doesn't make us a loner. Just like not entering a foreign civil war doesn't make you an isolationist. We just don't believe in world building. We just don't believe in empire building, if you will. The neocons and the leftists, if you want to call them that false left-right paradigm, they do believe in it. I will let everybody decide what they want to do in November. What I will not let the mainstream media do is dictate the fact that they're going to tell you that you have to choose between Mitch McConnell and Allison Lundgren Grimes, and here on known on this show as the Turtle Trader and Allison Blunderland, because that's your Tweedledee versus Tweedledum election for November, folks. Allison Blunderland versus the Turtle Trader. And what an exciting, sexy race that'll be, right? Just as exciting as when we had Blackjack David Williams against Governor P. Paul Beshear. Remember how exciting that was? And just as a piece of information here, kind of like the gamblers in Vegas say, for information purposes only, I want to tell you the truth about the other candidates. We know the major parties don't want you to know about other candidates. But again, darn it, we're not them. We're not looking out for one gang. We're looking out for the Constitution and your free choice. See, we believe in choice. It's one of those weird things that the so-called left wing believes in choice when it comes to abortion, but they don't believe in choice in much other things. They don't believe in choice in schools or education or in choice as to whether you do or don't want to accept the homosexual lifestyle. They don't really believe in choice. And then you have the so-called right wing, the so-called conservatives. They want to claim that they're all for choice. They're all for competition. But they're not for competition when it comes to elections. So the left can holler choice, and the right can bitch about competition, but they don't really believe in what they tell you. They don't do what they say or say what they do. So again, in the interest and fairness, and if we have the Republican Party Executive Committee listening again, like we know they like to listen to these shows. I don't know if they listen to them in archives. Maybe they listen to like 7 or 8 episodes in a row. Maybe they take like some Vicodin and some OxyContin, and maybe they get some drinks, and maybe they really mess themselves up good before they listen to the show, because otherwise their head's going to explode all on Linda Blair. So I don't know, but we know they like to listen to the show, and we know they like to stalk me on the social networks, and that's fine. Keep stalking me on the social networks. You lied when you said that I signed a petition for libertarian candidate to get in the ballot, because we all know I did not sign that petition. The said libertarian candidate was Ken Moman, who does his show here on Sunday nights, Liberty Unbridled. And Ken can tell you I didn't sign that petition. Never mind the fact that if you believe in competition, you'd want him on the ballot. We know in 2011, we had a race between a Democrat and a Republican. And it was a race for, I believe it was treasurer. Because Ken was going to get rid of the position of treasurer were he ever given the chance to be elected. But hell, he spent the whole campaign season having to get signatures. Because again, you didn't want the competition. You wanted him to have to stand out there and try to explain to people, like he had 3 heads coming out of his neck, why he had to get these ballot signatures. Because the 2 parties who run the legislature fix it, whereas the third parties have to do this. Not many people have worked with the independents or with the libertarians when it comes to letting them have a say in elections. And not only has Ken been involved in this, but our good friend Michael P.S. Lewis. Michael Lewis has been involved in Independent Kentucky for a long time, trying to keep you guys, Michael P.W. Lewis, excuse me, I confused the Michael P.S. Hayes from the Freebirds there for a moment. And Michael Lewis has been involved for a long time, trying to help people get on the ballots with all these stupid signatures. So again, it goes back to that thing. Just like Democrats claim they're for choice, but they don't want school choice. Republicans claim they're for competition, but they don't want election competition. We had a round-robin discussion about this last night. They were scared as hell back when Gatewood Galbraith ran one of his occasions to be on the ballot against good old Governor Flipper Patton. Back when Flipper Patton and Pepe Martin were on the ballot. And I know I give people nicknames, but no, that was her name on the ballot, Pepe Martin. I didn't make that one up. They were all scared as hell that Gatewood was going to get more votes than the Republican nominee. Now, folks, wouldn't it make sense that if you were so worried about Gatewood getting more votes than the Republican nominee, maybe you wouldn't make these back room, smoke-filled room deals? Maybe you wouldn't have this deal like you made, whereas when Patton was governor, and yes, McConnell was still U.S. Senator back then, maybe you shouldn't have made this deal with them where you wouldn't run a serious candidate against Patton if they wouldn't run a serious candidate against McConnell. Because when you make those deals, you take the chance of somebody else getting on the ballot. How screwed up is it when all the millions and millions of people in the state, and you think at the top of those two parties, your chairman of the parties, who are of course going to become lobbyists, don't take my word for it. Go look up the fact that Ellen Williams was a former RPK chairman, turned into a lobbyist. John McCarthy was a former RPK chairman, turned into a lobbyist. Look up Terry McBrayer. Look up Lundergan. Look up these people who run the two state parties. They make deals with each other that they won't oppose each other, and they call that competition. And if somebody else wants to come in, maybe you understand why Jesse Ventura called them gangs. You ever notice how the Crips and the Blood fight tooth and nail and kill each other, literally, but they don't want another gang coming and getting involved? And this is why we sometimes call the major parties gangs. This is why here on this network we say it's the Uniparty. Now, a lot was made about the fact that Matt Bevin gave a concession speech, and he didn't come right out and say that he was going to stand and endorse Mitch McConnell. Ooh, he didn't say he was going to endorse the traitor turtle, the turtle traitor. He didn't say that he would work hard against Alice in Blunderland. He didn't say that. Oh, that's horrible. That's terrible. All the talking heads were all a Twitter about it. I don't mean on Twitter. They were just a Twitter on it. But the bottom line is we have a lot of friends who worked hard for a Liberty candidate for U.S. Senate, and that wasn't Mitch McConnell. Now, a good friend of mine, Candace Franklin, made some good points, and I want to read to you the words of my good friend Candace Franklin. So Candace Franklin is from Somerset, Kentucky, and she's not from one of these big city parties. And I don't know if she'll ever have to worry about them coming after her with a red star for not being a loyal Republican or not. I don't know if she will ever get a red star and be told that she's not loyal, but I want to read to you what our good friend Candace Franklin said out on the social networks when it comes to this election between Turtle Trader and Alice in Blunderland. Candace says, "I will not engage in the rest of this U.S. Senate race. I was on the end of some terrible, nasty comments, name-calling, lies, disgusting campaign tactics, and I will not lower myself to help him do it to anyone else." We're talking about Addison Mitchell, Jerome McConnell Jr. She says he is a bully, so now he's going to beat up on a woman, I guess. I guess the only exception I would take is there's a lot of bad things to be said about Alice in Blunderland. I mean, I think you could tell the truth about her and not be a bully, but it goes back to what the aforementioned Gatewood Garbutt said, what the late, great Gatewood Garbutt used to say, which is when you have the two candidates standing there, Democrat and Republican, they will say, "Hey, this candidate did blah, 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 blah." And then the other one turned around and say, "Yeah, but this candidate did A, B, C, and D." And Gatewood would sometimes stand in the middle of these debates. And good old Gatewood would say, "Hey, I agree with both of them." It was his way of letting you know that when they're telling something about the other side, they're not just attacking them, they're telling you the truth. So anyway, continue reading the words from my good friend Candace Franklin. She says, speaking of Mitch McConnell, "I want nothing to do with him. I will not lie. I will not have anything to do with that. I will work on state, house, and local races, but my involvement and way of doing things will be to those who are loyal and truthful to me." She says, "Those people who call themselves liberty lovers, who sat on the sidelines, and these elected officials who sat by and watch the ugliness done to us, and watch us work ourselves to death, who said and did nothing, knowing me well enough to know I was doing what I thought was right, standing on principle, and many who I have helped in the past with projects or get elected, need not ask me for help. Need not ask me for advice or political favors. That is all. And she makes very good points. And I will again say what I said last night, and I've been saying out on the social networks. I had some people ask me on election night, how are we going to know the difference between the two major candidates, the Turtle Trader and Alice in Wonderland? How are we going to know the difference between those two candidates in November? And I made it clear, the way you'll know the difference is one will wear pants, one will wear a skirt, one will point at the other and say, uh-huh, and the other will point back and say, uh-uh. And that's how you'll know the difference between the two parties and their two political candidates in November. It's going to be another boring race, just like you had with Bashir versus David Williams. Now, I understand our good friend David Adams had said on the social networks the night of the election that he was going to support Mitch McConnell, and that's fine. And I understand there's been a lot of debate, even on his page over on Facebook, about people who said they would or they wouldn't. Some are going to hold their nose and vote. Some are not going to hold their nose. Why should you hold your nose when you're voting? Anybody explain this to me? Why should you hold your nose when you're voting? You know, it's not time to keep calm. You see all these little memes out there say, keep calm. No, it's not time to keep calm. Don't keep calm. It's time to wake up. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. A lot of people want to talk about the demise of the Tea Party. Oh, it's the death of the Tea Party, blah, blah, blah. I heard that crap for the last, oh, I guess 48 hours now, haven't I? We've heard about it's the death of the Tea Party, and I cry bullshit. Sorry. I know that offends some people, but I do cry that. I cry BS when they talk about the demise of the Tea Party. And yes, I said earlier I was going to tell, in the interest of information, the truth about the election in November, which is there are at least four candidates that are going to be on the ballot if they can get the signatures. Remember, if you're a Democrat or Republican, you got to get the signatures, about 5,000 signatures to get on the ballot. And there's a guy by the name of Ed Marksberry who told the truth about the Democratic Party corruption. And I don't know whether he's getting the signatures yet, but he wants to be on the ballot in November. There's a guy named David Patterson who's running as a Libertarian who wants to be in the race in November. Everybody loves to talk about the Ross Perot factor. For those of you all who remember, Ross Perot ran for president in 1992, ran for president in 1996, and all the time people say that he helped Bill Clinton. They don't want to look at all the other factors in the race. But in the end, folks, people should not be holding their nose to vote. They should have the freedom to vote any way they want from a wide variety of choices. Are you not sick of voting for A or B over and over again? In society, nobody makes you choose Ford or Chevy. We know that the campaigns out there, just like election campaigns, overwhelming you with PR and ads. The ad men truly are mad men because that's all you hear about. Maybe it's Ford and Chevy. But you shouldn't have to choose between Ford and Chevy if you want to drive an Infiniti. You shouldn't have to choose between McDonald's and Burger King. Look at the crappy choices they give you. Maybe you want something that's deep and enlightening and healthy and fulfilling. You shouldn't have to choose between, oh, I don't know, what's another one where the two choices are all they claim that they give you, Coke and Pepsi. See, they're both bad choices. If you don't have the freedom to vote how you want from a wide variety of choices, then anything else is the same communism that you claim to abhor. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the Mind View Matters Radio Network, and we'll be back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for hanging on with us there. And I told you we would talk a little bit more about the elections tonight, and we will. We want to get back into a little bit of it. If you really want to know about some good Republican candidates that you could support in November, we probably won't talk elections for June and July. We'll probably pick back up around August when the fancy farm picnic hits. That will be interesting to see if they believe in giving all sides a voice. We know that in the past they haven't done that, just like, hell, some tea parties aren't created equal. It's kind of like when Ed Springsteen sat here and said that the Tea Party support was split. Well, we knew that wasn't true. Even the fake Tea Party groups were not for Mitch McConnell. And I want to talk about a couple of groups coming up, a couple of meetings coming up before I get back into what's going on in the other constitutional Republicans' elections. But Take Back Kentucky is a group that I've talked about probably quite a bit on the airwaves here. Take Back Kentucky is a group that has been together for 20 years of success in changing the course of our Kentucky politics. And there are multiple ways to get involved, whether big or small, and see results on a regular basis. And I've probably been involved in Take Back Kentucky for about, I want to say about 14 or 15 of those 20 years. And they are doing an outreach here in Louisville, Kentucky. It's going to happen this coming Tuesday night. This coming Tuesday night, May 27th. I don't know. Yeah, I may be able to get out to that event. I don't know yet if I'll be able to make it to that event yet or not. But 7 to 8:30 this coming Tuesday night at the Cardinal Hall of Fame Cafe. It's good to see that they're going to be involved there at my my illustrious alma mater's Hall of Fame Cafe on Tuesday, May 27th, in partnership with Freedom Works. Take Back Kentucky's outreach tour will be coming in, and they have a purpose of effective coordination of groups and individuals interested in liberty issues facing our Commonwealth and making a real and noticeable difference. So there you go. That's going to be the Take Back Kentucky Freedom Works outreach coming this coming Tuesday night to the Cardinal Hall of Fame Cafe, if you guys want to get out there. Now, back to the election results. Had a lot of good friends who won elections on Tuesday night. And they do need your support in November. So if you want to know some of the guys that you need to work for, and maybe you should go out and campaign for, I'll be glad to give you a good little list of some Liberty Republicans who deserve your support this November. Now, our good friend Alan Claypool is a proud Liberty Republican who won a three-way primary for state representative in a landslide. If you want to know about the Liberty values of Alan Claypool, he talks about individual life, liberty, and private property, about simplifying state regulation, about defending states' rights from the 10th Amendment, a 10th Amendment that most people don't want to tell us about. And he opposes gun control. He opposes Obamacare. He opposes the EPA, the FDA. He opposes the Department of Education. And he also fully believes in protecting the life of the unborn. That's just one candidate that probably should get your support. That's Claypool, 4ky.com. Claypool, 4ky.com. He's going to have a race in November against the Democrat. And Alan definitely deserves your support for state representative in District 10. I know it's not around Louisville, but we have listeners all over the state. That's in State House District 10. And while I'm on that topic, very, very excited to see my friend Phil Moffitt win a primary on Tuesday night. Phil Moffitt going against a party establishment hack. And no, I won't stop saying that. I don't care who's friends with her. I don't care if Ed Springsteen's friends with her. She's still an establishment party hack. And my good friend Phil Moffitt put the smackdown on her. And I never said it was going to be a blowout. But when you beat over 7%, that's pretty good. When you're the Liberty candidate and they keep telling us how people aren't voting for Liberty, and you're the Tea Party candidate and people keep telling us, oh, the Tea Party is dead, I think that's pretty good to win by 7% over the former county party chairman. And Phil Moffitt is going to have a target on him from the Democratic Party. Hell, just a few minutes after the election results were final on Tuesday night, over on KET, public television, here came the Kentucky Democratic Party chairman saying that, quote, Phil Moffitt is way too extremist for the 32nd district. So that's what they were saying about his conservative district, was that he was way too extremist for it. Phil's been standing up for school choice for a long time. There's a reason that the teachers union gave a huge donation to his Republican primary opponent. Now, Phil Moffitt is on to Frankfort, but he does have to get past a Democratic challenger. I do expect him to win. And though I don't make a habit of making predictions about elections because I don't want to look at them as horse races, we're not picking them that way. But I do expect Phil to win in November, but he's going to need your help as well. So obviously, if you want to help out Phil Moffitt, that is another great candidate for Liberty that I hope that you guys will get out there and support this November. And you can also help him out by going over to MoffittHouse32.com, MoffittHouse32.com. He deserves your support. Another one I was very excited to see happen from Tuesday night was my good friend John Riley, who is a very good Liberty guy. John Riley is one of my living political heroes. And John Riley won a three-way race in the primary for Spencer County Judge Executive, and he won it in a landslide. He got 63% of the vote in a three-way race. Very excited about what John did. John was very instrumental back in the day when it came to helping us get the vehicle exhaust test removed in Louisville, Kentucky. John was one of the stalwart members of that fight on our side against those stupid tests. John, of course, will be on the ballot against the Democrat in November, and we definitely want you to get out there and support him. Another guy who helped John when it came to fighting the vet, hell, he's known as the vet slayer these days, and that's Dan Syme. Our good friend State Senator Dan Syme is up for re-election this year. And he won a primary pretty handily on Tuesday night. I didn't really know much about his opponent, and I really think that if you're going to run for election, you should get out and campaign. He won 74% of his vote on Tuesday night. And again, this is a seat that we need to hold in the state senate. This is a state senate seat that really, really needs to keep in our hands, and we'll use that term, our. But Dan Syme is definitely worthy of your support. I'm checking to make sure here. I'm fairly certain that the Democrats are going to run somebody against Dan Syme in November. I'm looking into that right now because I can't see them letting that go by the wayside. No, I don't see a Democrat filing for that seat. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Dan doesn't need your support in November. He had a Republican primary. Maybe that was it. But I still would like to see you get out there and support good Liberty conservative Republicans like Alan Claypool for State House and Phil Moffitt for State House and John Riley for Spencer County Judge Executive. And now that we're out of the primaries, we can get into some elections in November where there is a huge contrast between the Democrat and Republican, and my state representative Kevin Bratcher is up for re-election, and he's going to be facing a Democrat hack of the nth degree in Dave Stengel. So I've given you several names there in the state house that are going to need your support in November who are Republicans, and the establishment hacks will tell you I'm not a loyal Republican, but I'm actually going to get out there and work for people like Kevin Bratcher and Phil Moffitt and Alan Claypool and John Riley. And I think we got our good friend Paul is checking in from Stop Invisible Taxes. Paul, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I love TNT. You do an excellent job, Dale.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, where do you stand with the Mike Nemes race?
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up because that is another one of those races that don't think we had a primary in that race, correct? This is the 30, I'm trying to remember what district number we're in, Paul. You have to remind me. I don't have that in front of me.
That's over in Bullitt County.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike did not have a primary opponent, but his Democrat opponent did have a primary.
Gotcha. Okay. That's why I couldn't see. I knew that Mike didn't have a primary. I was just struggling to find his opponent's primary here. I'm trying to pull that up right now. But I think Mike definitely needs our support in November. How would you comment about Mike's race in November?
Well, Mike is a registered Republican only because in Kentucky right now, the realistic chances exist with people who tend to be registered either a Democrat or that, again, is by design of the election laws. And in particular, the feature called straight party balloting is the reason in the fall election why it's advantageous to be either a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't make any difference whether it's right. It is
right.
The way it is, okay?
Right,
but
because
Mike
Democrats
is,
and Republicans all control the legislature, and it's a catch-22. You've got to have some people who will go there and change the laws where it's not so difficult to get on the ballot because it's very hard to get on the ballot if you're not a Democrat or Republican. We just talked about the 5,000 signatures that somebody would need to run for a federal seat on the ballot, and I'm pretty sure they had to get some signatures to run as a state candidate as well. So I just found the 49th district up here, and you are correct that Mike's going to be running against Linda Belcher in November, and I think Mike is another candidate people should support.
And that's actually what I wanted to comment on is Mike's opponent. Mike is he said that if he could get elected as an independent, he would, but he realizes right now that's just not a real good option in a general election. But I wanted to remind your listeners of something related to Linda Belcher. Linda Belcher got defeated 2 years ago, and due to the gerrymandering from the decennial census, she now has got a district to run in again because the person who beat her, Russell Weber, defeated her not by a wide margin, but he did defeat her. Now, there was a good reason Russell Weber defeated Linda Belcher. And that good reason is during the 2 years prior to that election, Linda Belcher was carrying the water for the Jefferson County delegation headed up by none other than Larry Clark. And I'm telling you, the people in Bullitt County don't appreciate their representative running interference and doing the work that's not going to benefit them in Bullitt County.
Right.
She's not going to change because Linda Belcher is not – Linda is – she's not particularly well-informed on any of the issues, A.
Right.
And B, she has a terrible, terrible time at public speaking. I've been down in Frankfurt in a committee room when she was testifying, and it was halting. She didn't know her topic. She didn't know her subject matter. And what little she did know, she had trouble speaking about it, which means that she was using somebody else's words and thoughts and not her own. Linda is nothing more than a puppet. She is not a servant.
I'm glad you mentioned these puppets who come from the estrogen side of the aisle because I guess give Democrats credit for a long time. They only ran old white men and they always want to holler racism and sexism. They never ran any female candidates. So I guess maybe they're making progress. Now they got female puppets as candidates, whether it's the aforementioned Linda Belcher in the state race or whether it's Alison Blunderland in the U.S. Senate race. They're puppets in a skirt. And I guess they finally are getting behind female candidates who don't really stand for anything. So when you get to this November race, again, like you said, they really screwed up the districts. They gerrymandered them to hell because you mentioned Russell Weber. The aforementioned Russell Weber is now running in the 26th district. So Russell Weber's over in the 26th district, and Linda Belcher and is running against Mike in the 49th. And I'm trying to remember what the other district was. It used to be Russell Weber. So they really screwed all that around. And we saw when they did that a couple of years ago. Hell, that was when my good friend Phil Moffitt was going to run for state rep. And then before he could get done filing, they had changed the districts again where he was no longer in the race that he wanted to run in. So
And Dale, let me just mention to your audience, anyone in your audience who doubts that these people gerrymander to try to ensure their reelection, whoever the people in power are the ones that makes the decision. And I know of at least three candidates or potential candidates that they were gerrymandered into either a less favorable position for them as a challenger or a more favorable position for them as an incumbent. Two of the incumbents that gerrymandering out in the out in our little part of the world that benefited from that, one was Metro Councilwoman Vicki Aubrey-Welch. Aubrey-Welch was gerrymandered in a way to eliminate a potential threat from a Republican person who ran strong against her last time, and that's Renee Davis. Another Republican who had gerrymandering done for him, and he was right smack dab in the middle of it, was Senator Dan Syme. He ended up getting all of Bullock County, which has been trending Republican, so a whole lot more favorable toward him, and he got rid of a significant part of Jefferson County, again, primarily to enhance his chances of winning. Now, they're not the only two that had that done. There's plenty of Democrats and Republicans that had that done.
Well, Paul, that's what I want to ask you about, one about Dan Syme. So it's my understanding from what you're saying, I don't doubt it, because we always talk about how these two parties work together and they talk a good game behind the scenes, but they pat each other on the back behind closed doors. And I like a lot of what Dan Syme does, and I think the worst thing Dan Syme ever did was get stuck into having to be a towel boy for Blackjack David Williams, and I'm sure he feels a little dirty still about going out and campaigning and holding a cheerleading pom-pom for Blackjack Williams and Little Richie Farmer, who's now in a penitentiary in West Virginia. But do you think that this is part of the agreement? I talked earlier how we know back in the 90s that they had the agreement where Paul Patton wouldn't have a Republican that was, quote-unquote, legitimate run against him, so therefore the Democrats wouldn't run a legitimate candidate against Senator McConnell. Do you think this is one of those races? Is this why there's no Democrat running against Dan Syme, because that was all part of the agreement?
Listen, Dale, I would agree with that premise in a New York second. I would.
Wow.
We have a 30-year veteran.
It's a little bruising, Paul, because I was sitting here ready to find whatever hack they were going to run against Dan Syme and tell people to work for Dan Syme because he's done the right thing on Liberty most of the times. But this whole party back padding, it's out of control. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, there's an individual out in my part of the world who's got more than 30 years of insider political experience, and he said that back in the 90s, a deal was cut here in Jefferson County between the Republicans and the Democrats, and that is the deal was basically with I-65 as a north-south dividing line.
I know where you're going.
The Democrats would pretty much retain control everything west of there, and the Republicans would pretty much retain control of everything east of there.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty much the case since the 90s. So,
We saw what a disaster merger was, Paul, and I know that you're in the camp with me that we'd love to have a redo on merger because we see what a scam it was. I was never for merger. I was never one of these establishment Republicans for merger. I was against it. But after merger, how have we improved things? Because, hell, before merger, the Democrats ran the county government and the old Board of Aldermen. But you are correct. They had this agreement that everything on one side of, I guess you would say, west of 65 is all Democrat. On the other side is Republican. But I guess my question, this year we finally see a lot of Republicans finally running in some of these other state rep and state senate seats. So I guess my two-part question is, number one, did a little bit of that deal fall through, and now that's why more Republicans are actually running for these seats that they never ran for before, or is it just token competition to say, look, we're really on the ballot, are we really on the ballot, or did the executive committee down there finally get off their asses and do candidate recruitment?
On the last point, I don't think they've done any serious candidate recruitment. I notice out in my part of the world that we have a people who are either dinos or rhinos, and they're token. They're simply tokens, and in some cases, the Republican candidate is running against a Democrat incumbent, and they're people who've known each other for a while.
Oh yeah,
you know, you're running against a friend. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But the Republican Party of Jefferson County, they cannot get good candidates because they themselves are an endangered species. And it's simply because of the control that the Kentucky Republican Party, headed up by who? That's right. Mitch McConnell has exerted. Mitch has had an iron grip on a lot of Republican activities in the Commonwealth. And it's hurt the Republican brand tremendously, just like Obama has hurt the Democrat brand in Kentucky tremendously.
Well, I brought up a point last night, and again, I know Springsteen's been very heavily anti-Matt Bevin all along, and it's a little frustrating because you can't sit there and say Bevin should come campaign on your show or come pay to be on your show and then rip him nonstop. But that's, you know, it's Ed's network. He can make stupid statements if he wants. But with Bevin and McConnell, again, you look at all the crap that McConnell threw at Bevin, and I don't think he really stuck. I understand that Ken Mohman and I had agreement last night that the campaign could have done a better job. But my point is, and I made it last night, and I'll make it again to you, Paul, and get maybe a little bit further insight about it. Mitch McConnell, as a sitting U.S. senator, had poorer turnout in this primary than any other one in Kentucky since 1932. And I think that his campaign team is very concerned about that. I think the Jesse Bentons and the Chinese connection and everybody else is sitting back in those rooms, and they're scared shitless. And I said last night the only two words that even got on that percentage was Rand Paul. Your comments?
Well, I believe Rand Paul, as was stated last night, I'm in agreement with you guys that Rand Paul's influence was a favorable thing for McConnell. But going back to McConnell's numbers falling off in terms of the number of the percentage, Dale, I'm just wondering if that isn't just fatigue with the status quo.
Yeah.
Even the Republican faithful that I know, let me tell you, they're beat down. They're dispirited. There isn't a whole lot of hope out there, and McConnell is the closest thing to hope. But I've been up there for three decades. He's shopworn. He's shopworn.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
And the Republican establishment in Kentucky has not and will not allow a good contender to come along. They're interested in holding on to what they've got, And I'm going to characterize it as a bunch of old white guys are killing the Republican Party in Kentucky. They're killing it.
Well,
but then you got a whole bunch of old white guys
in
charge of the Democrat Party in Kentucky,
right,
too. So kind of like
it's the same group. It's a uniparty, Paul. And as we wrap up here, I think this is what I mean when I say if the party is even around, one of two things is going to happen in 20 or 30 years. And if people are like me are still on this planet, if we're still wandering around, we're going to tell a story. And the only question is the story going to be, we're going to tell a story about when the rhinosaurs roamed the earth, this endangered species called the rhinosaur, when these old Republicans, staunchy old, crusty old, anti-liberty, anti-constitution white men ran the party? Or is the Republican Party itself going to be the endangered species that is no longer seen walking the earth? Because it's going to be one of the two. The party's either going to dry up and die, and who would have thought that? Because, hell, 14, 20 years ago, I was hoping that maybe the Democratic Party would fall off. But I've said this over and over, Paul. They won't let the other fall off. They'll pick each other up. because they won't let anybody else come in. The Crips and the Bloods look out for each other. They might be killing each other on the mainstream media at night, but they're looking out for each other behind the scenes. And one of two is going to happen. The party's going to either die out, or the people who run the party are going to die. And that's that little dirty little thing they don't like when I talk about. But the old people who run this party, you look at the demographics, they're not going to live forever. So will the party become liberty-oriented from the top down, Paul, or will the party just die altogether?
Well, the quickest path to change is certainly from the top down, no question about it. However, as with anything else in life, we don't always get anointed to be the emperor or the ruler of a particular activity so that we can impose our thoughts and will from the top down.
Right.
So for most everyone else, we have to do a grassroots operation and build it from the ground up. And I think that's one of the things that frustrates Tea Partiers so much, is that they've had a lot of false hope in the form of candidates that are better than the incumbent. They may not be great candidates, but they're better than the incumbent, and we're going to get behind them because they're better than the incumbent.
Right.
And I'm actually seeing in some of the Tea Partiers that I know, some long-standing ones, they're showing a degree of fatigue too. You can't keep fighting the fight without enjoying some degree of success. Rand Paul was the absolute shining star in the Tea Party in Kentucky, no question about it. Now, there's got to be a way to replicate that success soon, or else the Tea Party folks are going to just, they're simply going to be worn out.
Yeah, and the way we do it from the bottom up, Paul, is, and I appreciate your comments on the issue. Thank you for coming on here, Paul Hauger from Stop Invisible Taxes. The way we do it from the bottom up, Paul, and for all the listeners, is to get involved in these other statewide races. We understand that the leadership in Kentucky's Republican Party wants to talk about taking back the House or recovering the House or whatever their stupid catchphrase is. And I agree with that, because if you want to get involved and you want to be involved in November and you're still very upset about all this BS party unity crap, PUMA as we call it, party unity my ass, because they only want party unity, the establishment where they're in charge of it. But if you want to be involved and work from the bottom up, you do get involved with people like Allie Claypool for State House in the 10th District, Russell Weber for State House in the 26th District, Phil Moffitt for State House in the 32nd District. We just talked about Mike Nemus running for House. There's a young man named Ron Sider running in the 40th District. These are the names that you need to get involved with if you want to help Liberty candidates. These are the ones who are going to make a difference and are going to be a great voice in Frankfort. Just think, if we could go to November and we could get people like Allie Claypool, Phil Moffitt, Ron Sider, and Mike Nemus in the State House. It'd make a big difference, and it would be the difference in if you're going to stand up for liberty or if you're going to be part of the New World Order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.